From the studios of Boise State Public Radio News, I'm Samantha Wright, filling in for Jim and Godette. It's Idaho Matters. This is the second week of a trial in Idaho, where four women are challenging the state's abortion laws. Tuesday, a doctor for the plaintiffs testified the language of the laws is narrow and unclear, something the state disputes. And much of the testimony in court has been emotional and at times hard to listen to. Sarah Varney is a special correspondent with KFF Health News, and she's been in the courtroom last week during the trial. She's joining us now for an update. Sarah, thanks for taking some time this morning. Really appreciate it.
Oh, it's my pleasure, Samantha.
Okay, give us a quick overview of the trial up to this point. What have you seen so far?
Sure. So last week, there were 3 days of testimony, all from the plaintiffs. So as you mentioned, these are four women and two physicians and a physicians association that are suing the state of Idaho over these, the strict ban there, which only allows for abortion care in the case of rape or incest to prevent the death of the pregnant woman, or if she is certain to face sustainable and irreversible damage to a major bodily organ. So that would be like an infection that leads physicians to have to take out her uterus. So therefore, she's had a hysterectomy. So that's the basis for the case. So the testimony last week really focused on these four women. They all took the stand and told these, just really heartbreaking stories about these complications that they faced during their pregnancy. We also heard from some physicians who are suing the state and lots of different medical experts. So the state did not call any witnesses last week. They're expected to call at least one witness this week. So we heard a lot from physicians about how they are just not trained to wait until a patient becomes so sick that they may die, that they're trained to intervene as someone's health is deteriorating.
Mm-hmm. Okay, you've been in the courtroom all last week. Take us there. What does it look like? I think you said on NPR's Weekend Edition on Sunday that some of the women have brought their kids into the courtroom, some of the women in the case.
Yeah, I've been to a lot of trials, and this was so interesting because all four women had children before they faced a pregnancy with complications. So those kids are now, 4 or 5 years old. And then after they had these pregnancy complications, which they all, 2 of 1, left the state of Idaho in order to get abortion care, they all then became pregnant again and had successful pregnancies. So many of those children were in the courtroom. Jelaine St. Mitchell, she and her husband were at the trial all week, and they had their 10-month-old there. Mm. So you'd oftentimes see Jelaine out of the hallway, nursing her child and then going back into the courtroom, bringing the child with her. Kayla Smith, another plaintiff in the case, she went on to have who's now a 1-year-old girl, and Nora spent much of the time on her mom's lap and, eating yogurt snacks. And it was this strange setup where the attorney for the state, James Craig, was, asking physicians to describe in detail abortion procedures, which, these women had to go through. And then at the same time, hearing kind of cooing and ahs from children in the back of the room.
It sounds like it's been very emotional at times from some of the things I've been reading and some of the things you've been reporting. The testimony from the women, and you've talked to the women and their families after outside the court.
I did. Yeah. I interviewed several of them, and it's just this, anyone who's been pregnant and faced pregnancy complications understands that it doesn't take much to get back to that moment in your life. So these were women who both on the stand and then in these interviews, as you mentioned, were having to recall some of the most horrific experiences in their lives. So, in this case, in Jelaine St. Mitchell's case, for instance, she had a diagnosis that no parent wants to have. She had a pregnancy diagnosis that was just devastating. The fetus was missing bones in some of its arms and legs. Its kidneys were fused together. Its bladder was missing. This was just a chromosomal defect, essentially. And she didn't want to carry this pregnancy. She didn't want to allow her child to suffer. That was one of the themes that really came out for all four of these women, was that they did not want to prolong fetal life, not just for themselves and their own health, but because they felt that it was creating pain and suffering for the fetuses that they were carrying.
And you mentioned we have not heard really from the state yet. That is still to come.
Correct. Yeah. And they, as of now, they only have one witness that they're planning on calling, this woman named Dr. Ingrid Skop. She's an pretty well-known anti-abortion OBGYN. She testified in the Texas case. So there's a similar case that went to the Texas Supreme Court that the Center for Reproductive Rights brought there. They're also bringing this case on behalf of these plaintiffs. So she's somebody who, at least in the Texas case, will testify that abortion in her view is never necessary. She'll say that any woman who is pregnant with, you know, even a lethal fetal anomaly should be forced to carry to term, which is the state of Idaho's position as well. We'll expect to hear from her later this week.
Who else is in the courtroom? Is there a jury there? Is it just a judge?
It's just a judge. So it's a bench trial right now in district court. So it's Judge Scott. I will say he was, you know, very sympathetic to these women. The attorney for the state, James Craig, he objected a lot. So even during the testimony when, you know, Kayla Smith, for instance, was literally just sobbing on the stand and he would call out objection. The state objects to all of this testimony. They say that it's irrelevant. They say that these are hypotheticals, that these women are not currently pregnant, not currently facing a threat under Idaho's law. And so their view is that they lack standing. The judge in the case, however, seemed much more sympathetic. You know, he at one point, you know, sort of very, very gingerly, you know, reprimanded the state's attorney. And the attorney for the state simply said, you know, I'll just have standing objection to all of this testimony.
We're speaking with reporter Sarah Varney with KFF Health News. She was sitting in the courtroom all last week throughout the Idaho trial where four women are challenging the state's abortion laws. And they're challenging the laws, but they don't want to overturn them, right? What would the case actually do? What can the court actually do in this case?
Correct. Yeah. So there was a previous trial, previous court case your listeners might remember, brought by Planned Parenthood challenging the constitutionality of Idaho's abortion laws. That case reached the Idaho Supreme Court, and the court found that that there is no constitutional right to abortion in the Idaho state constitution, and that the abortion laws are constitutional. So this is a much narrower challenge. They're essentially asking for the court to clarify the medical exceptions for when a abortion can take place. One of the instances that occurs not just in Idaho, but around the country, I've done a lot of reporting on this over many years, is this condition called PPROM. It's when the amniotic sac breaks prior to viability. And it can be very dangerous. It means that there can be a very quick moving infection that can lead to sepsis. Several of the deaths that we've seen both here in the United States and elsewhere, like in Ireland, the case that led to the overturning of Ireland's abortion ban, were from PPROM, from sepsis. So the doctors specifically are really asking for specific either medical conditions or just a broadening so that doctors can intervene not just to prevent the death of a pregnant patient, but to preserve her health. And they also want to have an exception for these fetal anomalies, these lethal fetal anomalies, when, you know, these are pregnant women who are not going to bring home a baby.
Well, and can the court actually do that? Can the judge do that? This is an Idaho law. Would that be a legislative thing, or can the judge?
Yeah, well, that is central to the state's case, which is that, you know, you may disagree with this policy, but this is a legislative question and you need to bring it to state lawmakers. The attorneys for the plaintiffs say, and they've testified, they had one OBGYN who testified, you know, look, we've gone to the state legislature, we've gone to lawmakers, we've testified in Boise in front of these lawmakers, and it's all falling on deaf ears. So they've turned to the courts to say, what else can we do? I did actually talk with the lead attorney in the case one day after court, and she just, you know, she said, look, if this fails, it's very unclear where patients can go next to try and bring their claims.
You've also done some reporting up in North Idaho on the Idaho laws. Tell me about that.
Sure. Yeah, I was there a couple years ago, a year and a half or so ago. And we did two stories, actually. One, Idaho, as you probably know, was the first state in the country to pass what's called a teen travel ban. So this is a criminal statute in Idaho that makes it a crime to take a teenager, anyone under 18, out of state for abortion care without the permission of the parents. The law is written in such a way that it's really unclear what that means. Like, if a parent just texts an aunt and says, yes, I agree. Is that okay? Does it have to be from both parents? So we did that story. And then we did another story really looking at this exodus of maternal fetal medicine specialists in Idaho. There at the time that I was there, about four or so folks out of the nine maternal fetal medicine specialists in the entire state had left. And we were interviewing an OBGYN just as she was actually literally packing up her house and putting it on the market. And I did, in fact, talk with Representative Mark Sauter, who represents folks up in Sandpoint, and asked him, you know, did you think about abortion care as part of obstetric care? You know, and he said, I really had not. And I think that that's one of the things that you're really seeing, not just in Idaho, but in around the country in places that have bans. I mean, we saw this in Tennessee and Texas, where there was sort of not an under, you know, maybe not an appreciation for how often abortion happens inside of desired and planned pregnancies.
Okay, so trial continues today. When will it wrap up? Do we know?
It should wrap up this week. I think by Thursday, the 21st was the day that they thought it was going to wrap up. So, you know, just have to see how court progresses today. It's been the interviews with the physicians, particularly last week, took quite a long time, sort of establishing their credibility, establishing, and then also dealing quite honestly with a lot of these objections from the state. So there were several times when they were going to be talking about confidential information, either from the hospitals or information protected by HIPAA, which is a federal privacy law. So we had to clear out of the courtroom. They would talk and then we'd come back into the courtroom. So, you know, it just depends on how much of that back and forth happens this week as well.
And when there's finally a ruling, I'm guessing there would probably be an appeal.
Yeah, I'm certain that there will be. Yeah, either side would appeal. I mean, we saw this in so there's two other cases, you know, that are very similar to this. The one I mentioned in Texas that they the plaintiffs, again, this case brought by the Center for Reproductive Rights, had a favorable ruling in a lower court and then went up to the state Supreme Court, which upheld the Texas law with that one exception that I mentioned about PPROM. There's another case that they brought in Tennessee where they also have had a favorable ruling at the lower court level challenging Tennessee's near total abortion ban. That case has actually yet to be appealed. Unclear why the state of Tennessee isn't appealing it. So we'll see what happens here in this Idaho case as well.
We've been speaking with Sarah Varney, special correspondent with KFF Health News, about the Idaho trial where four women are challenging the state's abortion laws. Sarah, thanks for giving us some of your time and expertise today.
Oh, thank you, Samantha. I appreciate it.
Thanks for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR Network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Samantha Wright. We'll see you tomorrow.
No matter what happens in Washington, the NPR Politics Podcast is here for you. For the latest news, insights, and analysis from the election and beyond, listen to the NPR Politics Podcast.